I knew all those words.
Dave, you know all those. Dave, you know who all those guys are, right?
I could have done it, man.
You could have sung that.
So now, Steve, do you root against No More Perfect Games so you don't have to add anyone into the song?
Actually, I should say we do have an amended version of that song that we'll play tomorrow night. Actually, next three shows we'll probably play it. And includes the three people who have thrown Perfect Games since then
right.
and the one who didn't. So we it's you,
oh, about the yes, the guy who got ripped off by the umpire. Right,
yeah. In there. Mark Burley, Dallas Braden, and Roy Halladay all make their appearance. I didn't do the long version today, but
right.
come out tomorrow night and sing along.
That's right. Tomorrow night at the Bell House, the Baseball Project, Steve Witt and the Miracle 3. Saturday, the Baseball Project at Drew's House in Ringwood, New Jersey. And then Sunday, the Baseball Project, 3 o'clock, right?
3 o'clock. It'll be 3 o'clock at the Hoboken Street Fair.
Yeah, Pretty Babies at
Pretty
2.
Pretty Babies at 2.
Ian and Hunter at 4:30.
Yeah, that's right, 4:30. So, that's going to be a great show. But yeah. I should point out, that's going to be a great show, and so will Saturday. But come out tomorrow to the Bell House, because the only time you'll be able to see the Miracle 3.
Yeah.
And that's doing the songs off North
Rare
Russia.
Appearance.
The Miracle 3 is...
Jason, Victor. Yes.
Jason and Linda, not here right now, but here in spirit.
Yes, here in spirit.
I think Jason's probably listening right now. So is there a way to have him sing along on the phone? That'd be great. Yeah.
Jason, can we Skype you in on this, man?
If there was a way to patch the computer in, I'd do it.
Have you done that here on Sessions at all?
Well, yeah, there's a famous one from back in East Orange of Yola Tango playing with Daniel Johnston on the phone.
That's a great one.
And there's a couple other ones that had happened, too. I think the world-famous Blue Jays did one with, I forget who, somebody, but... Eric Roscoe Amble, I think, did it. But anyway, the song Harvey Haddix. Now, what happened? Didn't Harvey Haddix's widow contact you after that?
That's right.
What was that story?
Harvey Haddix, who, you know, by now you know the whole story if you just heard the song.
Right.
I have no point saying what the song is about because I just told you everything. But Harvey Haddix passed away, I think, about 20 years ago. And a sports writer in the town where his widow lives got a copy of the song to her, and she's in her late 70s now, and she loved it. And she's actually had kind of a crusade to have Harvey's name added to the record books as one of the Perfect Game pitchers.
Right.
So she loved the song. She got in touch, sent us memorabilia.
Wow.
Said, that's the kind of song Harvey would have loved.
Nice.
And, and I loved it. My favorite thing was when the line in the song where I said, I wonder how he slept that night, knowing how close he came to throwing a perfect game, etc. She actually answered that. She said, he didn't sleep very well. He walked around town all night very upset about it.
Poor Harvey.
Well, thank you. That's great, because I was wondering.
You needed her before you wrote the tune.
I know that. I wouldn't have to ask those questions.
Yeah, right.
That's.
Have there been any other incidents like that, or you know, any other people who have been mentioned in songs getting in contact, or is that the only one?
One of our biggest fans now is Black Jack McDowell. Formerly of the White Sox,
Yankees, yep.
An actual Cy Young Award winner, and Scott wrote a song about him for the first record called "The Yankee Flipper,"
right.
Which is if you don't know the record, it's a pretty funny song about Jack McDowell, who was kind of he was a rocker. He was in bands that toured and played the indie circuit in the off season, and. He was kind of a party guy, great pitcher, one of the best pitchers of the 90s, but, you know, loved a good time. And I guess he was a very big REM fan and went out one night during the season with Scott and Mike Mills and Dennis Dykin. Right. They all went out together for a wild night of drinking that I guess went on pretty late in the evening and into the morning. And Jack didn't fare too well the next day.
He was pitching the next day.
Well, no, I think he was pitching the day after.
Oh, okay.
So not right. quite as bad. He wasn't quite as, you know. But he was pitching the day after
right.
the wild night. And was still probably a little messed up. And had, I think, he pitched at Yankee Stadium, had one of his worst outings, was knocked out while he was still in the White Sox, was knocked out of the game around the second inning, first inning maybe, and flipped off the audience.
Right.
Gave the audience the finger. And so it became known as the Yankee Flipper. Anyway, we wrote the song about that, you know, and ended up meeting him, and he loves the song. We played out in San Diego on the last tour, and he came to the show, got him on stage to verify the truth of the song, which he did. He said, yes, this is how it went down, but I haven't told my kids yet. So, and he is now a high school baseball coach in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And at the time he came to see us play, his team, I think it was like a 7-game losing streak, he wore our Baseball Project T-shirt under his jersey the next day at his high school game, and the team won. And he said he's not going to take the shirt off until they lose a game. So
wow.
I'm not sure where that stands right now. But we are the good luck charm for Black Jack McDowell. Our record is, as opposed to Scott McCoy, who was very bad luck for him last time.
Right. Right. That's great. All right, so Steve Wynn and Dave DeCastro are here. And, of course, you can see them tomorrow night with the rest of the Miracle 3 at the Bell House and then the Bell Baseball Project set to follow. Did you do any straight doubleheaders like that in Austin? I know you had played so many shows with both bands.
We did, three, four, several shows together. We had both bands down there in the marathon. It was really, I think I played 14 sets in 3 days down there between if I can get the 7 with the Baseball Project, 5 with the Miracle 3, and 2 with the Minus 5. So I was in, did a number of sets, and it was great. We didn't manage to do much beside play. I think I saw one or two bands down there, ate some food.
Right. Well, you've done that before, at least just with the Miracle 3, not to that extent, but right? When you guys go down, you play 5 shows in 4 days, maybe.
You may as well play. You know, that's right. I think when the Miracle 3 first went down there, 2001, I believe, I don't think bands did that as much back then. A few did. I know John Langford had done that a bit, and a few bands, but it wasn't as common. Bands would go down there and play their one set, maybe show up at a party, but you just did your gig and left town. We figured, hey, we're here, we like playing, we want to spread the word, and we just, I actually put out the word to anybody I knew who was having a party down there, and said, can we play on your bill? Everybody said yes. So we did them all. We did everything. And I realized that's a great way to do it. It's really fun.
Great.
It's what you're there for.
Excellent. And now, and so after playing every place in Austin, you'll be playing one show in New York.
Yes, doing one show in New York, and hopefully more. One thing looking ahead, I mean, I'm sure you'll be able to see me play at the Miracle 3 around town more times before the year is over. Next year is the 30-year anniversary, and it's hard to believe, of the Days of Wine and Roses coming out.
Wow.
By the Dream Syndicate, and I'm sure we'll be doing some kind of shows to commemorate that. So we'll do a song off that first record right now.
Yeah, excellent.
We can do the first song on the album called Tell Me When It's Over.